Drug possession is a crime. When someone is convicted of that crime, they're sent to prison where, in many cases, there's access to drugs and certainly scarce opportunity for rehabilitation of any sort. Back in 1989, an alternative was created for those convicted of nonviolent drug possession. It was called drug courts. This was an idea New Jersey courts embraced back in 2002. More recently, President Trump has called for an expansion of this idea as a means to combat the opioid epidemic. Here to discuss the effectiveness of drug courts is a physician attorney member of the Regulatory Transparency Project, Dr. Raj Klein. How are you today, doctor?
Good. Thank you, Chris. Great to be with you.
Yeah, a couple of websites for you. RogerDKlein.com. That's the doctor's website. And learn more about the work of the Regulatory Transparency Project, REG Project.org. And as I said, doctor, this is an idea started in Miami back during the crack epidemic. And New Jersey embraced it back in 2002. Describe what the difference is between drug courts and the regular court that in most other places, at least at this point in time, drug offenders wind up going to.
Well, Chris, there's a huge difference between a conventional court and a drug court. A conventional court simply meets out punishment and will send an offender to prison or give them probation. What a drug court does is it forces a drug addict, someone brought to the attention of the legal system, into a rehabilitation and treatment program. So the emphasis is not on punishment, but on returning the person to a sober state and allowing that person to enter society again and participate. And it's really to try to help that the addicted person recover.
And when we say rehabilitation programs, we're talking about really intensive, highly demanding rehabilitation programs, not like the ones we see Hollywood actors fall in and out of on a 30-day frequency.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that this is part of the criminal justice system. It is these are intensive programs. They involve serious behavior modifications. The courts monitor these individuals closely. They're drug tested, and they have to attend meetings. It's actually the court has the ability to apply graduated sanctions and also incentives in order to keep people off of drugs. They're sort of a combination of a criminal type proceeding or sentence and a treatment program.
Or I guess maybe a good analogy would be it's a highly supervised parole analogy, I guess, might be somewhat accurate.
I think that's a great analogy. But even more than simply parole, there's a behavior modification element to it, what would you call a treatment element, and including medications at times if necessary, that really work to keep people off drugs.
Looking at some stats for New Jersey, again, I mentioned that the drug courts in this state began back in 2002. It's had just about 20,000 participants, and there have been 4,000 graduates. There are still 5,900 participants. 84% of the graduates are employed at the time of their graduation, which means the end of the supervision. Approximately 61% have a valid driver's license. They obtain that through the recovery. And there have been 348 drug-free babies born to participants in the program. It's not a total perfection because human frailty is what it is, and it has its variables from person to person. But those are great numbers versus if all those almost 20,000 were thrown into the regular prison system.
Yeah, yes. Drug courts, when done properly, appear to be far more successful than simply putting people in prison, which basically doesn't work. We know it doesn't work, and so we're trying new things. And this isn't a means, as you have suggested. It's not a means simply to coddle somebody. It's to excuse behavior, but rather to intervene in a way that makes for success of the type that you're describing. It's very, very hard to get people who are addicted to enter treatment and to stay in treatment. And using the justice system in a creative way like this is a really, really good idea. It's an innovative idea, and it works.
So Dr. Roger Klein, who is a physician attorney, he's also a member of the Regulatory Transparency Project. Their website is regproject.org. Dr. Klein is rogerdklein.com. Talking about drug courts here and issues and ideas, something that New Jersey has been at the forefront of, which is unusual to say when it comes to New Jersey, but it's a welcome exception to the general rule. And hopefully, well, the president, as I said in the intro too, Doctor, is the president sees the drug courts as a good idea to combat the opioid epidemic. For a drug court to work, though, it's multifaceted, but it does offer something, an obvious benefit just at the outset, as opposed to throwing the convicted drug possession individual into a prison. If you show them some support and they get the realization that, well, someone gives a damn about me, that's got to be a great difference just from that first step.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I think the participants of the program attest to that. I think that is one of the statements that you'll hear from participants and graduates of this program, that the support system and the encouragement and the idea that people actually cared was very, very important to them. And I also want to agree with you with respect to President Trump. I think he's doing a great job on this. I think he's providing leadership in the area and is willing to think out of the box, and he's encouraging the Congress to pass laws to confront this epidemic on multiple fronts, and so I agree with that as well.
And I was getting into it too. For these drug courts to work to their maximum success potential, it's got, obviously, funding has to be there, the structure has to be there, but also the courts have to be there still. And I've read where in some cases there are judges who are volunteering the time just to make sure these courts work.
Yes, I you're right, and I think you're correct. It takes resources. I think most important first, it takes commitment, and then the resources come. In this country we have this tendency, we see a problem, we like to throw money at it, and I think but what's most important is to spend that money wisely. And as we're learning how to operate these courts and run these courts, we can fund them effectively. You know, it's interesting that participants in the programs in some courts actually contribute to the treatment. And I think that's important. One of the greatest success stories in terms of treatment in this country has been Alcoholics Anonymous, and basically it's funded by the participants. So it's important to have resources, and we definitely need to do that, but we also need to spend those resources wisely.
There are, at least at this point in time, 3,000 drug courts throughout the nation. But as we've talked about here often on the show, and you've seen yourself in reports from a variety of sources, the opioid epidemic really shows no limitations. A lot of these people are victims of drugs, not committing violent acts in order to sell, deal, or to get drugs. And that's also the important part, too. These are the nonviolent drug possession offenders who qualify for the drug courts. There are a couple of exceptions, but by and large, that is the major prerequisite to become part of this program. And if you look at the stats, time after time after time, certainly better results than the traditional treatment that convicted drug possessors have been facing. So seems like a right path, and hopefully that the mechanics will become stronger, the utilization will become more widespread, and for a change we can get ahead of an epidemic of any kind of drug addiction that is spreading, much like we saw with the crack epidemic, and how that unfortunately was responded to way too late, it seems like, through President Trump's initiative and the success that we've seen with the drug courts, that this might be the key to combating this situation. Learn more about the drug courts in New Jersey, and I just lost my page here. Let me get up real fast. You can go to, and certainly your attorney will have the information for it, but you can also go to judiciary.state.nj.us to get more information about the drug courts here in New Jersey. Go to your state website if you're listening on the stream. Find out if they are existing in your area as well, for someone, for yourself, or someone that you may know. And learn more about Dr. Klein's work. RogerDKlein.com is his website. He's also a member of the Regulatory Transparency Project, RegProject.org. Dr. Roger Klein, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.